You know, baptism and communion, also called the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper, are closely related in most Christian traditions, but they serve different roles in the life of faith. But here's how they connect. Both are sacraments given to Jesus. Most Christians consider baptism and communion to be the two primary sacraments instituted by God, by Christ, and in the Protestant tradition, which we are part of, we consider those two our sacraments. In the Orthodox and the Catholic Church, they consider a few more sacraments, but those two for us Protestants are what we recognise. Baptism, Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptising them in the book of Matthew. And then in regards to communion, Jesus again said, do this in remembrance of me. So they are the outward sign of God's grace and participation in our Christian community. Baptism starts the Christian journey and communion strengthens it. Both are gifts that point believers to Jesus, to his love and abounding grace. So I've been having some light reading here with a book called Church History in Plain Language. I'm not sure if it was in complex language, whether it would be longer or shorter. But in plain language, it's that big. But it's the history of the church. It's how we worship God and how it all came to be. I'd just like to read a portion for you now as we focus in on our Lord and Saviour and the story of his crucifixion. When the execution party reached a hill outside Jerusalem called Golgotha, the soldiers stripped the clothes from Jesus and two thieves to be crucified with him, and they divided the garments among themselves as the crosses were assembled. Each prisoner was then placed on his cross. Jesus suffered in silence as the soldiers nailed his wrists to the crosspiece with large iron spikes and drove the other spikes through both ankles. As they lifted his cross upright, his weight was supported by a peg jutting out from the cross between his legs. Then the soldiers fastened over the cross a sign describing his crime, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. It was a slow and painful death. Jesus hung there, helpless, for long hours as the hot sun beat down on his body and insects buzzed about his limbs. Curious passers-by paused to watch his agony and to read the sign. Gradually he weakened, his body tortured by muscle cramps, hunger and thirst. A small group of his despairing followers watched in silence as his life slipped away. A strange and revealing prelude to the history of Christianity. As he grew weaker and weaker, Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and yielded up his spirit. Within hours, a friend, Joseph of Arimathea, carried Jesus' body into his garden. There he had a tomb hewn out from a large rock. Inside, near the rear of the tomb, was a couch also of stone, and Joseph gently placed the corpse of Jesus upon it. Then he rolled a heavy stone across the entrance and went home. And now we move into, the book continues to roll through and describes the followers of Jesus following these events. The experts in Jewish scriptures, the scribes and the Pharisees, believe the Old Testament presented the law of God for his special people, the Jews. The law began with 10 commandments, but it went on until some regulation covered every detail, every action, every thought in life. It prescribed every move in true worship and every step in true piety. Stephen, however, disagreed and said so. He insisted that the institutions of Jewish life, the law and the temple, were temporary. God intended them to point beyond themselves to the coming Messiah, who would fulfill all righteousness for all people. The Old Testament's central purpose was to promise the Messiah, and he had come. And said Stephen, Jesus is his name. We know this because the events surrounding Jesus' crucifixion gave clear evidence of the hand of God. How could Stephen say that? The crucifixion had sent Jesus' apostles into hiding, confused and fearful. The hopes for the kingdom in Israel had vanished in darkness that had enveloped the cross. Jesus was not what he had seemed to be, a deliverer to his people. In a matter of days, however, strange rumours started circulating. Some of the women claimed that they had seen Jesus alive. And upon checking the grave, several of the disciples had indeed found it empty. Some of the apostles, however, remained sceptical until several encounters with Jesus convinced them all that he was indeed risen from the dead. During one of these appearances in Galilee, Jesus told his disciples to gather in Jerusalem and to wait there until they were baptized with the Holy Spirit a few days later. So there it is, the story encapsulating why Christians from then through until now remember him. Not dead forever in the tomb, but alive again, risen to life again. And so that's why we remember Jesus' body broken on the cross and his blood shed for our sin. I'll pray and then we'll take the emblem of Jesus' body, and then I'd like to read a portion of a hymn. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, as we sit quietly here, we pause to recognise the cruelty that the cross was for our Lord and Saviour, and the obedience that he showed as he showed his great love for us all the way to the point of death, even death, on a cruel cross. And so, Lord, we recognise that our sins were also crucified on that cross, that we can be made righteous through the sacrifice of Jesus. And may we forever and every day be grateful for what our Lord and Saviour has done for us all. So we thank you, Lord, for your body. We thank you for your sacrifice. And we remember now as we gather together the price that was paid for our salvation. We commit our lives again to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So for those who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, please take and eat in remembrance of him. Sing we the song of Emmanuel. Oh, what wisdom to save us all. Shepherds, sages, before him fall. Grace and majesty, what humility. Come on bended knee, adore him. Go spread the news of Emmanuel. Joy and peace for the weary heart. Lift up your heads, for your king has come. Sing, for the light overwhelms the dark. Glory shining for all to see. Hope alive. Let the gospel ring. God has made a way. He will have the praise. Tell the world his name is Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Let us drink in remembrance of him.